Hey, I was on my way. I was on my way. You good. Yeah, right. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and then we're going to go over to chapter 6 as well. A being is everything. Oneness with the Father is everything. Oneness with Christ is everything. Everything should be leading to that understanding. For years, a lot of things have been leading to tradition and religion. And the scripture even talks about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It means you have the form of God. Say, I am the form of God. Now, there's no other form that you can be, because he made you in his image and made you in his likeness. Now, I didn't say it. He said it. Okay? So because that's the case, there's no other form, but I can have the form but deny the power.
Yeah.
You get me? Yeah. That means I can have everything that I should have as being one with God, but deny the power because I don't realize that the power is within me. The power that he was talking about always was the power that's on the inside of you. Say, the power is on the inside of me. All right, and so now it's very important to slow down and read the scriptures from the proper perspective. Okay? Because if not, you'll read another story. And we've heard a lot of biblical stories, but we didn't think they were talking about us. We thought they were talking about David and Noah and Moses and all the other people, right? They're still talking about you. The whole Bible is a story about you. The Bible is the progression of mankind up until the oneness with the Father. And it shows what the whole thing from the beginning all the way up to Jesus shows what mankind looks like if they don't know who they are. And they wander. And they succeed and they fail. You know, you see a lot of those books in the Bible that we don't go to, the little short books. That we don't really go to because they ain't that long or they ain't got the text that we want, right? Right? All of them started the same way. Then the word of the Lord sent a prophet to Israel because Israel had failed. Right. Now these are people, now hold on, watch this. These are the people that said they were God's chosen people. How do you fall if you're God's chosen person? Unless you don't know who you are. You cannot fall into something else if you know who you are already. You get it? You can't. But if you forget who you are, you can always, that's what sin is. I said it before and I'll say it again. Sin is an archery term, shooting an arrow. It just means missing the mark, missing the mark that you are. Because you forget who you are, surely God can be in this place and I didn't know it. Jacob talked about that, right? Surely, you see the angels going up and down the ladder? He said, surely God is in this place and I didn't know it, right? But you can say that personally about you. Because Jesus upgraded it, you know, Joshua, this is living by the book, right? You got to take your time and see it. Now, if you stop seeing the book as a religious law book and understand the story as a story about you. So find yourself. Everybody say, find myself. Come on, say, I have to find myself. I said again, say, I have to find myself. If I don't find myself, I ain't found nothing. They got some cute stories, a couple little rhymes, and we tell them some stories to some other people. We're going to spew that same thing to everybody else we talk to. We're going to spew non-identity knowing selves, and we're going to make everybody not know themselves. Are you understanding me? I got to find myself. The first rule in using the map, locate where you are. All right? So you find yourself in this. Now, we know, you know what we, you know who we are. Cheat. You know somebody spoil the story? They spoil the movie? I hate it when people do that. Tell me the end of the movie. Don't tell me the end. I'll tell you the end already. You've already seen the end. It is finished. Jesus and you are one. He said, the works that I do, if you believe, are you understanding? So we know that, but now if that's not going on, surely the Lord can be in this place and I didn't know it. It talks a story, say the angels going up and down. He had a dream, went to sleep, had a dream. You see the angels coming up and down the ladder. Then he waits, surely the Lord, he say, call it Bethel. He took the pillar and turned it to a pillar. He was laying on the rock, and then he made a pillar of the temple he was trying to build, right? Right? And then but see in John 1:51, Jesus starts talking about, he said, The angels are descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. See, he takes it from the place to the place. You get it? This is your body is the temple. Yes. See, everything is going to, don't accept nothing else. Listen to me. Don't accept nothing else. Any other kind of rhetoric that is deferring power, don't accept it. Any kind of rhetoric that's telling you that something's coming to deliver you, don't accept it. Because I am, say I am, delivered. When you realize that I am delivered, then I am becomes a deliverer. You get it? But I am already delivered. I'm not trying to get delivered, even if it don't look like it. I am delivered. Jesus getting beat. Can we learn about the book a little bit? Can we? Can we go through the story? Yeah. Jesus getting beat and whooped, and he destroyed. Look at this. This is bad. Everybody left him. Mm-hmm. It don't look like a good thing is going on, but the greatest thing was happening. Yeah. He is, regardless of his circumstance that's going on. Right. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? So now, in the midst of moving through this, he still is the Son of God. Right. He still is the Messiah. But I don't need to scream it out because I know who I am. Most of the time when people scream stuff out and scream out their titles and their all these different things, they always talk about that and they're saying that they're trying to convince you of who they are because they don't know. I was talking to somebody today and I said, we have a tendency to fight and scratch to try to validate our importance in this life when I already am. But surely God is in this place and I don't know. When I'm trying to prove something to you, surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. Being one with God is the ultimate humility. You don't think so. See, we're afraid, one with God, we're afraid of saying those things sometimes because the way we were raised and the way we said, but this is what Jesus prayed. John 17, Jesus said, I pray that they be one with you like we are one. This is, if I got a last prayer, we call that the last prayer. We got the last supper and all the last words and everything. Let me do the last prayer. The last prayer says, I pray, Lord, let them be one. Amen. Me and you are one. This is the goal, right? If I'm one with God, that means everything that God has, I have. All of God's attributes are mine. See, don't get off. Are you going to take the power? No. You're going to take the humility of God. Here's why. Because if you got all the power, you ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. Who I got to prove something to? I ain't got to walk in the room and say, hey, I'm me. No, don't worry about that. I know who I am. You get it? And it's ultimate humility. Everything should lead to your oneness with the Father. If it does not, it could be a wind of doctrine and tossing you to and fro. I explained in my last class, when you're singing, there's what you call a flat note and a sharp note. The sharp note is right above the right note. The flat note is right below it. It sounds like it almost bends to that note, but it ain't that note. It ain't hitting the nail on the head. I also described in the class, my uncle used to be nailing. He showed me how to nail. And, we used to be building stuff, back when I was living in Gosman, we were building stuff. And, I'm trying to help. So I got the hammer, and I got it choked up at the top. I got the hammer all right up there at the top, and I'm hitting the nail like that. And I ain't making no progress. And my uncle just come. He grabbed the hammer at the end of the hammer because he know how to use it. He know what he's doing, right? And he was a carpenter. I was trying to be one, right? He took it, and he take the hammer, and he sling it a certain way. And he said, let the weight take it, son. Right? Let the weight take it. And he hit that nail, and the nail going one swing. Wham! The nail in. I said, man, come on, man. Because I'm up here. Do life ever feel like that? You're praying, and you're trying to read up on a manifestation. No, but if I teach you how to handle it right and let you know what you really got, you let the weight. Glory is described in Greek as weight. You let the weight do its job if you know that I'm one with God. Say, I'm one with God. Now, all of the scripture is telling you this, but you have to find yourself. You have to go from it being somewhere else to it being here. I remember coming up and you would have all these revivals. God bless revivals. And you'd have, the Brownsville. I don't know if you know anything about the Brownsville revival. And they have different ones. And they go for 3-4 weeks, Go for months. And they said the Spirit of God moving over there. So everybody driving down to Brownsville. Yeah. Right? And they ain't there no more. Church ain't there no more. The people left because I guess the signs and the wonders left. Right. You drove all the way down there. You ain't know it was in you. I'm not saying don't drive to no meeting, but you come to the meeting with it. I learned something very, very amazing in my last class, that we we disrespect our connection to the gifts that were given us, the ministry gifts, because we don't come with our gifts. Listen to what I'm saying. In the beginning of Ephesians 4, we're living by the book now. Beginning of Ephesians 4, he said he gave gifts unto men. He says, above all, in all, and through you all. That means he's got you've been gifted Christ. But if you come trying to receive something that you already have, you slow down the progress. Because what apostles should be telling us is what we already are, what we should be here, but we don't hear where he at sometimes. Sometimes I hear him, I hit a message, and sometimes I see him preach. You know, in a congregation, let me teach this ministry school, when you're talking to a lot of people at one time, sometimes it's hard to make the progress because you have people at different places. And they pull in different ways. And then you got this one over there want a blessing. This one over here want a healing. This one over here want something else. This one over here want a mate. This one over here want something else. This one over here want, and you got so many people pulling in different directions, they can't even hear that you're telling them who they are. But being is the message, because if I tell you who you are, then when you show up, Pastor Jeremiah, when he's ministering to you, right, you're not holding him up from the progress that he could be taking y'all to, because you brought something to the church, because I am the church. So I came with the gift that I am. See, everything is pointing towards I am already. Say I am. Come on, say it again. Say I am. Every word that you see is pointing to the I am. That was Jesus' only message. It's a 3-day journey from Egypt to the promised land. Take them 40 years. Why? Because you don't know who you are. So now all the little chapters, you go, it start off and say, the prophet of God sent the prophet such and such. Nahum. You know, we don't go Nahum much, right? He sent him because the children of Israel had lost their way. And now he got to come back and get them together. Then the end of that book ends the same way and starts off the next one the same way. And you keep got to send somebody to lead you somewhere because you don't want to hear who you are. It's tough, and we have to change our perspective, because it is tough. We've been so conditioned to want a savior that we don't realize that we are the saviors. That's what Jesus' intention was, to tell you. Right? He would tell disciples missed it. 11 of the disciples got crucified. Y'all knew that? 11 of them got crucified. Some of them got crucified upside down because they went into these cities. Let me teach you something. Living by the book. Slow down. Slow down. Just read it. Slow down and read it. Stop. Calm down. Everybody say calm down. Sometimes living by the book is just calming down and paying attention to what they're saying. You ever had somebody that was so busy trying to do something they wasn't hearing nothing nobody was saying? You ever talk to somebody before, you were so busy trying to get your word out, you don't know nothing that they said. You say, just waiting till your turn. Right? Listen, are you ever try to talk to somebody, they were busy doing something already, you know they wasn't listening to you? Right? Sometimes we're like that when studying the word, because we're so busy trying to dig up a revelation that you don't realize you're the revelation you're looking for. So calm down, let it tell you who you are. Disciples went up and their guns blazing, talking about Jesus Christ, it's the gospel. But he went in a lot of places that people weren't accustomed to that, and they already had their customs in place. They killed them. None of them resurrected, though, which means that wasn't the plan. Jesus told them way in the beginning of Matthew 5, he said, beware of your adversary when you're in the way with them. Lest he become offended. Yeah, and deliver you up. You ain't going to get out easy. See, he's trying to tell you, if you actually go a mile, go two. They sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. You know what I'm saying? They slap you on one cheek, turn the other. Calm down. Even John the Baptist didn't listen. This is right after he get baptized. Right after he baptized Jesus, you don't hear no more about John being with Jesus. Listen to it. Find yourself. You don't hear no more about John following Jesus. Next thing you hear about John, he over in the place talking to the man. He's rebuking him and get his head cut off. I used to think, Lord, we gotta die for, like, we gotta die like that. I mean, I know about being crucified with Christ, but like, I get to the point where you gotta cut my head off. That's what I'm talking about Stephen. You know Stephen in Acts, and he didn't stone him. But I found out the whole chapter before that, Stephen talking noise to the people, talking about your stiff neck. And he talking to the people. Listen. Jesus says this statement. He said, be wise as a serpent, as gentle as a dove. You watch Jesus. You ever watch him? Just watch him. Pay attention to him. He's very meticulous about how he does things. He don't just say everything everywhere. He don't just be hollering. No. I got a right to say. No, calm down. Because they got a right to take your neck off. Listen to what I'm saying. Because you miss the journey, you miss. You can sit there with Christ and miss Christ in you. Do you think he's talking about something else? Think he's talking about something else? You think he's talking about somebody else? It's somebody else. It's somebody else he's talking about. He ain't talking about me. No, it's all talking about you. The Bible is still about you. And you find yourself. You find yourself in Jesus. You find yourself in Christ. But sometimes you can find yourself in some other places. And what do? You repent. You repent. You change your mind. Okay, I'm over here. And the map's not supposed to be over here. I just bust that U-turn. You ever pass up a turn? Use GPS or pass up a turn? You're supposed to get when you no make no sense. Keep, oh man, I didn't miss it. Let's just keep driving that way though. Maybe we keep driving that way to come back around. Yeah, and in 22 years, right. You can drive around the whole globe. Right? That's how long it takes. Why? So we turn around. They call it a what kind?
U-turn.
What kind of turn?
U-turn.
Oh,
U-turn.
U-turn. You need to make a U-turn. Yeah. Ain't nobody else. Anybody can lay hands on you? See, thanks, sir. Right, make a, yeah, you got to turn. See, where you've been driving at, you thought that was you. No, but make a U-turn. You get it? Turn to the inside. You get it?
Yeah.
Cause we've been on the road. We just been going wrong way, and we thought we were right. So, at least you can drive. You got your seatbelt on. Right? We've been doing pretty good. We got a seatbelt on. We did all the steps, right? What's going on? Why have I not gotten to the destination? Why have I not gotten to Manifestationville? If that's where I'm going. If that's the city, why have I not gotten there? Because you're trying to get somewhere that you are. Make a. And that's what this is talking about. Everything in this scripture is talking about this. Search the scriptures. Search them. For in them you think you have eternal life. And that's cool. He didn't say it was a bad thought. He said anything was wrong with your thoughts. But and, he says, and they are they, talking about them scriptures, that testify of me. Right? He said, but you won't come to me. As you might have eternal life. You get the understanding?
Yeah.
So it's an incomplete journey. See, you're on the road, but you come on, drive over here, but stop. Say, I'm going to class, and just stop halfway the trip. You're not at class. I don't care what you think. You got your books with you. You can be dressed. You enrolled, but you ain't here till you here. You haven't finished the journey to class until you come all the way. Are you understanding? And so many times in our study of the Word of God, in our study of the Scriptures, in our study, we go part of the way, huh? We get a piece of it, and that piece of it is better than nothing, right? But it's not finished. You don't go all the way. And if you never get to the identity of who you are, you haven't gone all the way. It's powerful, ain't it? Listen, it changed my life. That this has been talking about me the whole time. Now watch this. I'm going to help you, right? Crucify yourself, right? Jesus starts saying some real strong stuff. We're going to live by the book. We're going to slow down and read sometime, right? He was a real, you got to leave houses and lands and mothers and fathers and husbands. Like, whoa, hold on, Jesus. Leave all of them. Who's my mother, my brother, with them to do the work? He starts saying this stuff. Saying, you go, sell all you got, rich young ruler. Sell all you got, give it to the poor, come follow me, right? He starts telling, like, whoa. You know, because I've been working for this. You know, we all got saved. We talked about this before. We all got saved because we wanted something. We wanted heaven. Come on, don't lie to me right now. We wanted heaven, or we want to change our ways, or whatever it is, right? We still wanted something for ourselves. Then he says, die to your self. Now, when you die to yourself, you find yourself. The thing that you've been struggling to die to is what you've been wanting the whole time. It's the true you, though. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
So I have to kill your idea of who you think you are. Right. kill your idea of who you think you are, that you become who you really are. You get it?
Yeah.
Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, there they will testify me, but you won't come to me, that you. You realize it's you. Are y'all with it? John 6:63. Go to there real quick. Flip the chapter over. Now, we have our ideas. I break these words down. For good study, I might have told you before, for good study, I got a Strong's Concordance. What Strong's Concordance does is break the words down. So the words in Greek, sometimes it'll tell me what the original meaning. There's a lot of things that are lost in translation. Yeah. When you're translating from two different languages to another language, you lose stuff. You ever play that game, telephone? Anybody ever play a telephone game where you say something to somebody and you whisper it around the room? By the time you get back to the original thing, it's a whole new thing. Yeah, just imagine that with the word. Imagine 2,000 years. Imagine longer than 2,000 years. There's some telephone going on, right? So now, but it's good to have references. John 6:63, verse, it says what? It is the what?
Spirit
that quickeneth. Quickening means make alive, right? The flesh profits nothing. There's the red words, right? They're red, right? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are what?
Spirit
and they are what?
Life.
Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. Mm-hmm. Listen. So we're going to read that one. We read John 6:63, we're going to read 64.
Right.
But they got some of y'all that don't believe.
Right.
You listening?
Yeah.
But it is the spirit. Now, you know, you have your idea with the spirit. Spirit is breath. The Greek definition of it is breath. It is inspiration. Like when you inspired, everybody breathe in. Come on. In the beginning, God made man from the dust, and then he breathed into man, and man became a living. That's him. So it is only the understanding of the oneness with God that makes alive. The flesh will profit nothing. That means if you do it on the outside, there's no profit. Come on, we've all done some. We went through the rituals on the outside. And didn't profit nothing, huh? Come on. We said the prayer didn't profit nothing. Yeah, because we're on the outside and not on the inside. Inside, the breathing in. It is the breath in that giveth, that maketh life. The flesh profits nothing. So the words that I speak to you, they are breathed in and they are life. They are already, the words, look at that, the words that I speak. You see, he's talking about, he said, the words that I speak to you, right? The words that I'm saying to you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are spirit. They are inspired inside of you. They are already breathed inside of you by the power of God.
Yeah.
That's the nature of you. That's the words that I'm speaking to you. So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you about you. They are spirit and they are. Jesus said something else another time. He says they're life, right? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the
life.
He said, I am the way. John 14:6. He said, I am the way. If you read it, you just slow down, read it. You see the progression of how he's trying to bring you together and piece you together and know who you are. Right here in chapter 6, he tells you, the words that I speak to you, they're you. But if you try to get them out of another connection, see, the disciples had a flesh connection with Jesus. Matter of 3 days. Jesus died on the cross in a matter of 3 days. Peter, who walked with Jesus and all that other stuff for so long, he went all the way back to where he was at the beginning. 3 days. He didn't take a week to grieve. At least we take a week off and grieve because he didn't took my master. He went right back. How quick we go back to the other things. Flesh connection. No, it is identity connection. The words that I speak, but there are some of you that believe not. So he says, if you believe, well, if thou canst believe, how does scripture finish? Y'all know that one? Come on. Y'all know it? All things are possible. Yeah. If thou canst, just Jesus talking about it. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that. All things are possible sound like God to me. If thou canst, believe what? Believe, not believe in somebody to come and do it, believe that you it. Because all things are possible to who? It's the ones that believe in.
Yes.
It's the ones that believe that I am. Say, I believe
I am.
I am. Because the words, come on, the word of God, right? The words that I speak to you, they spirit. And they life. They you. They God in you. That's all I'm telling you. This is what Jesus said. That's all I'm telling you. You come back, I'm going to tell you, Brother Higgins talked to Apostle. He said, Apostle, you follow him everywhere. Brother Higgins, if you follow Brother Higgins, I used to travel with him sometimes. He preached the same in Mark 11, 23, 24. Mark 11, he preached on faith. Mark 11, 23, 24. He go and say, well, open up your Bible. So Mark 11, you know what I'm saying? Right? And it's just saying, and he say, well, Brother Thompson, I saw you at the last meeting. You here again? He said, I'm going to preach the same thing I preached last time. He said, that's what I come to get. Because I'm telling you the same message. Ain't no new message. It's you. You're actually the message. And there are some of you, that believe not. Jesus talks in another place. I'll say this and we'll close. He talks in another place. He says, enemy trying to tempt him. You remember when he got tempted? And it says, the first thing he tempted him with is food, because he had been fasting. First thing he tempted him with. He said, you be the son of God. He's trying to question his identity. And he's trying to figure him out, too. He's trying to find out if you're the one, do we look for another? He's trying to find out who I need to stop. He says, return this rock in the bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every, that's identity. That's identity. You're the preceding word. Then God said what? Let us make man. You're the word of God. He spoke you into existence. You're the preceding word. Say, I am the preceding word.
I am the preceding word.
Man shall not live by bread alone. But the identity of God in me. Right? The preceding word. Stop. Says that I'm going out the door for real. Stop deferring yourself. Stop deferring or displacing the truth about who you really are. And don't allow anybody else to do it. And even if they do it, you realize you better hear. No, it's me talking. He's talking about me. I am blessed. I am healthy. Why? Because I am one with God. It can be no other way. You get it? You understand? Don't let nobody defer you. When you're studying the scripture, even when you study scripture, don't let your old traditional religious ways go back. Nope. Kill that. Crucify yourself to that. Because this is really who I am. You get it? Amen. Amen. I am.